Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
All right, if you're old like me, you remember back in 1986, who won the Super Bowl? It was the Chicago Bears. And that was a really big year for them. They had Mike Ditka as the coach. They had the great running back, Walter Payton. They had a huge, humongous defensive lineman. Do you remember his name? Refrigerator Perry. And they really took the nation by storm that year by doing the Super Bowl shuffle. I mean, it was a big deal. It was a lot of fun. But there's a story I want to tell about them just to introduce the topic for our sermon today. And I really doubt that it's even true, but it's just a fun story, so we're going to act like it is, okay? Okay, apparently the team chaplain was conducting services for the Chicago Bears. The whole team is gathered around, and someone suggested that Refrigerator Perry be the one to lead the team in the Lord's Prayer. And apparently Mike Ditka leaned over to the chaplain and said, "I'll bet you $20 he doesn't even know the Lord's Prayer." Well, the chaplain didn't even respond. Everyone bowed their head. Refrigerator Perry prayed, and he said, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." And Coach Ditka leaned back over to the chaplain and handed him a 20 and said, "Well, I'll be. He knew it after all." Okay, I tell you that story for a reason. Because when it comes to the Bible, we don't always know the things that we think we know. And that's even true for those who may have grown up in church all their life and read phrases and words in the Bible and even used phrases and words, but we don't always really know what they mean. And we are working through this great passage of Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul just gets carried away with praise and blessing. And I'm calling the series, In Christ, Richly Blessed. And we have looked at the blessings that are named and explained in this passage. We have looked at the blessing of being chosen in Christ. We have looked at the blessing of being adopted in Christ, at the blessing of being redeemed, the blessing of being forgiven, the blessing of knowing some things in Christ. And one of the things I love about preaching through a text is you get to deal with what the text deals with. And so this morning, we are going to look at a word that we may or may not use and we may or may not understand, but we're going to look at the blessing of being predestined in Christ.
You may be seated.
Amen to that. We have so many reasons to magnify the name of the Lord and to glorify the name of the Lord. And just a few of those are listed in Ephesians chapter 1. And I hope that it's a blessing to you to be reminded that we are chosen in Christ and we are adopted in Christ and we are redeemed and we are forgiven and God has made known to us His will. And today we're going to see that we are predestined in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one of the blessings that we have and that we should embrace and that we should let live and flow in our lives. And I started the message with a funny story, but what we're going to talk about is not necessarily funny. It's very, very important. And again, it's something that we don't talk about a lot and that we have shied away from and that honestly, sometimes we confuse and misuse. And so I hope to do justice to this great Bible word that we are predestined in Jesus Christ, because it's important that we understand what the Bible says. Would you agree with that statement? It's important that we understand what the Bible has to say, because what the Bible has to say for those of us who are following Jesus as disciples of Jesus, what the Bible has to say is the most important thing to us. It's what we obey. It's what we seek to know so that we can follow Jesus well. And so theology, which is what we know, what we understand, theology affects the way that we live. And when I talk about theology, I'm just talking about the truth about God and truths about God. And we need to be really careful where we get our theology. We need to be very careful. Because we have an enemy, and he is a deceiver. He is our adversary, and he seeks to confuse us and lead us in the wrong direction. He is a liar. There are two things we need to know about our adversary. He is a liar, and he consistently lies. He's a liar, and he consistently lies. And he lies to us all day long, in every way that he can. And he has been consistently peddling the same lies about God since the very beginning. He is not creative. God is creative. Our enemy is not. And he consistently peddles the same lies about God that he has peddled since the beginning. And he'll do anything to confuse us. And so it is important that we know the truth of God and truths about God, and that we get those from God and from his word and not from any other place. Because see, throughout most of history, the enemy, the devil, Satan, however you want to refer to him this morning, throughout most of history, he used temples and idols and false gods to lead people astray and to confuse people and to pass on his lies. But we need to be really careful, because even though he may not have those same temples built on hills in our cities, he's still promoting the same false messages. And one of the lies that he has peddled for a very long time has to do with what Ravi Zacharias calls the three most important questions anyone asks. He's not the one who came up with that. He's just one who said it very, very well. That we want to know where we came from. What is our origin? We want to know, why are we here? What is our purpose? And we want to know, where are we headed? What is our destiny? And Satan has answers for those questions, and they are lies. And he has been telling those lies to mankind. And again, in the past, when people worshipped all kinds of false gods, they all had this common story. And that is that human beings were the plaything of the gods, that the gods were in another realm, and they really had all of the best and the worst impulses of mankind, and that we were just their plaything. We just got caught up in the consequences. We were an afterthought. They all have creation stories of some kind, but in all of them, mankind is just an afterthought. That the gods inhabit their own world, and they're preoccupied with their own wars and their own love affairs and their own dramas, and that we are just pawns and playthings. And so when prosperity comes, or when calamity occurs on earth, it's a ripple effect and it's a consequence of something that's going on with the gods. That's a lie that Satan has peddled for thousands of years. And most of those gods, most of those temples are gone. And most of those gods are considered myths. And the idols have been destroyed. But the false message is still being peddled in new and modern temples. And as a prime example of that, consider this last scene from the movie Men in Black. The plot of the movie involves Will Smith, who is an agent. His job is to police aliens who live undercover on this planet, disguised as human beings. But what I want you to pay attention to, this is the last scene of that movie, is what that final scene implies about the earth and the people on it, and how it is just a new version of the same old lie. Now, some people say, well, Ken, that's just a movie. I say that is pagan theology in modern times. And our world and the people in it are just playthings of an alien or a god. Our lives are just collateral damage from the games that the gods play. And that's what the devil says about our origin and our purpose and our destination. But here's what God says from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. In him we were also chosen. We've already looked at that word. That was the first word we looked at, the first blessing. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. That's what God has to say about our origin and about our purpose and about our destination. And that message of predestination, folks, is good news. If you want to follow along in your outline, that's the first blank, I believe. God's message of predestination is good news for us. It is a blessing that we should embrace. We are not an afterthought. We are a beforethought. And I don't know if that's a word, but it should be. We're not an afterthought. We didn't come later in God's mind. We are in God's mind from the beginning. We're a beforethought. We were thought of beforehand. We were predestined so that we might be to the praise of His glory. Now, Paul wrote this, we've said many times, Paul wrote this while he was in prison. If Paul had been a follower of a pagan god, he would have just assumed that fate had dealt him a hand that landed him in prison. And he would have thought, maybe there's something I need to do different, or maybe there's something I need to do to appease the god so that I could be released from prison. But Paul didn't follow a false god. Paul followed the one true living God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And so instead of bemoaning his fate at the hands of the gods, Paul pours forth praise to the God who blesses His children with incredible gifts. And Paul just starts praising God and listing all of these gifts because he knows that we are anything but an afterthought. He knows that life and that people on this earth matter deeply to God. And he knows that because of the good news of Jesus Christ, who came to be like us, who came to be born among us, who lived us and taught us and suffered for us and died for us and was raised from the dead for us, who is now seated at the right hand of God interceding for us, Paul knew that that God loves us and has a plan for us that speaks to our origin and speaks to our purpose and speaks to our destination. In fact, in Christ, Paul would say it's predestined. And we talked about this when we looked at that blessing of being chosen, but that was 6 weeks ago. And while I usually think that you remember everything I say, I'm going to repeat this for you this morning, just for a few of you. That when we talk about this blessing of being chosen, when we talk about this blessing of being predestined, one of the things we said is, it's not that some are chosen or predestined to be in Christ. That's not what I believe the Bible teaches about predestination. It's not that some are chosen and some are not to be in Christ. It's that all who are in Christ are chosen to be. It's that all who are in Christ are predestined to be. Now, up in the earlier part, it said all who are chosen in Christ, they're chosen to be holy and blameless. They're chosen to be adopted and forgiven and redeemed. And now Paul says that we are predestined, and not that some are predestined to be in Christ and some are not. Not that even God Himself is playing with us and has chosen some and has chosen not chosen others. That's not what this doctrine is. But that we are all who are in Christ predestined for something. And it's what God wants for everyone. Because God wants everyone to be what? In Christ. God wants everyone to share this destiny that He has for the people that He created. But it's a blessing that comes to us when we submit our lives and surrender to Jesus Christ, when we put our faith in Christ, when we are baptized into Christ, clothed with Him, hidden in Him, united Him, that's where the blessings are. And that is what God has predestined to be true. And so we are predestined to be in Christ. Predestined for what? Predestined for the praise of His glory. Paul's going to use this phrase over and over, and I want us to look at it a little bit. Because that word predestined means to mark out with a boundary beforehand. That's what predestined means. It means that beforehand, there's some boundary that's been marked out. There's some lines that have been drawn. There's some territory that is identified. And in Christ, we have been marked with that boundary. We were in that boundary. And we're not there just for our safety. We're not there just for our comfort. We're not there just for our blessing. We are there for God. We are there for the praise of His glory. Now, what does that mean? I want to break that down. If I praise somebody, it just means that I speak well of them. That's what we do when we praise God. We are speaking well of God when we praise Him. So, the praise to speak well of. Glory, the praise of His glory. Glory refers to something that is seen. That's a concept and an idea of glory in Scripture. The glory of God is always there, but it's glory for us when we see it. The glory of God can be seen. It can be made visible. And so, you and I are predestined in Christ to live lives in which the glory of God is seen in us and causes people to praise or speak well of God. That is the purpose of your life. Because God made you and God saved you and your life is wrapped up in God in these boundaries that He has predestined. And your purpose is that people would see the glory of God in you. And that they would speak well of Him. That when people see your life, when people hear your talk, when people learn the way that you think, when people see the things that you do, that they would recognize God in that. They would recognize the hand of God in your life. That they would see the work of God and that their attention would then be directed, not to you, but back to God. And they'd speak well of Him because of the glory that they saw in your life. That's your destiny in Christ. That's what you've been predestined for. But there's more to it than that, because it's not really that they're going to see you, but it's that they're going to see Christ, because you are hidden and wrapped up and clothed in Christ, and Christ was and is the most visible representation of God. Christ is the most visible, most perfect glory of God. There's a couple of passages that you need to know and you need to be memorized so that you can talk about when people want to know about Jesus. First chapter of John, the first chapter of Colossians, and the first chapter of Hebrews. John 1, Colossians 1, Hebrews 1. You can remember that. Now, I'm just going to do Colossians and Hebrews this morning, but this Jesus, who we are in Christ, He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation, over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of His fullness dwell in Jesus, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things. We looked at that last week from Ephesians. How's He going to do that? Things on earth, things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He made the universe. The Son is the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. And after He provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Folks, Jesus is the glory of God. And my purpose in life is to reflect Jesus. That's the simplest way I could say it. I could sit down right now. I'm not going to, but I could sit down right now, and that would be the message for you this morning. Jesus is the glory of God, and I have been predestined in Christ to reflect, to show that glory in everything that I do to everyone I'm around, so that they would speak well of God and give Him praise. When others see Jesus in you, when they see what God is doing in you through Jesus, when others see that you are being changed and you are being transformed and you are being made a new creation, and the goal of that that God is doing in you, that transformation, is going to be more like Jesus. That new creation is going to be more like Jesus. That is glory. That is your destiny. And you're living for the praise of His glory. And that phrase, the praise of His glory, is used three times in this passage in Ephesians that we're looking at. Ephesians chapter 1. And again, I want you to see that these three questions, origin and purpose and destination, they're all addressed here. Paul's going to talk about the praise of His glory in our past, the praise of His glory in our present, and the praise of His glory in our future. In verses 4 through 6 of Ephesians chapter 1, when Paul writes that we were chosen before the creation of the world and predestined for adoption into sonship, that was to the praise of His glory. So our past, what God did, who we were, what we became, we were adopted. And so when people hear what your life was like before Jesus, and they see and hear the person that you are now, they see the glory of God and give Him praise. And then over in verse 11 and 12, Paul's going to write again that phrase to the praise of His glory, and it's going to answer the question of our purpose. It's going to speak into our present, how we are living right now. Because he says, when people see that you are living for Christ, when you're living out the great commandments to love God and to love other people in such a way that you get to live out the great commission and make disciples of all men, people see that and they see Jesus in you for the praise of His glory, and they speak well of God because of that. And then he uses the phrase again in verses 13 and 14. When Paul writes that we, and this is what we're going to look at next week, we are marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance to the praise of His glory. And so that's your future. That's your destination. When Jesus returns, He is going to gather His church. And Paul writes in Colossians 3 verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. And so at that time, all creation is going to speak well of Jesus. In that moment, when Jesus returns, all creation is going to praise Him and speak well of Him and fall to their knees and honor Him as the Lord of Lords, as the King of Kings, by whose name salvation comes. That's our future. And while we're here, we want to get as many people as we can to recognize the glory of God, to see the work of God, to become disciples of Jesus, so that they would praise His name and speak well of Him, and so that they would live in Christ to the praise of His glory. That's our task. That's our job. That is what we were predestined to do. And you can be sure that what God decided and predestined will come to pass, because He is faithful and He keeps His promises and He keeps His word. Back in verse 11, God has a plan and He is working out everything in conformity to His will, so that it might be for the praise of His glory. See, God doesn't cause everything to happen in your life, but God can use everything that happens in your life to get you where He is leading you, to get you where He has predestined that in Christ you would be. He has a plan and He's working it out. He's using everything. Have you ever done one of those exercises where you kind of map out your spiritual life and you draw a line that is your lifeline and you put dots on it to identify significant things that happen to you spiritually. And some of those are going to be really great things. They were spiritual highs that impacted your life in Christ. And I mean, you might list all kinds of different things there. There would be other, I could give you my dots that I put there. There are other places on that timeline that you would mark a dot that would be some really trials that you went through, some difficult times that you went through, some suffering that you endured. And those had a huge impact on your spiritual life. You've all got your own timeline and you've all got your own dots marking the good events and the bad events. But here is the truth. God is in every dot. God's in every dot of your life. Every good thing that happened, every bad thing that happened. And God and God alone, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. It's my favorite thing about Him. There's so many things that I love about God. So many lit things that could be on our favorite list. But I think my favorite thing about God is that He can take every single dot in my life, every single good thing and every single bad thing, and He can work it and He can mold it and He can shape it to finish my salvation, because He started it and He will accomplish it. I love that about Him. And for good reason, we usually go to Romans chapter 8 when we talk about this. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And that's a comforting verse. But in light of the blessing that we're reading, talking about today, the blessing of predestination that we're exploring, let's keep reading verse 29. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. The Holy Spirit is consistent in Scripture. Why are we predestined? What are we destined for? To be conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ, who is the perfect representation and glory of God. God wants us to look more and more like Jesus, and that's what He's working out in our life. And when He comes again and we get to go to Him in glory, we will be like Jesus. Not because of anything we did. Not because of anything we accomplished, but because of His grace and mercy and goodness and generosity. And so God is going to work all things out. We keep reading the verse. For those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. God started at the beginning and He works all the way to the end. And He's working all things in your life, the good, the bad, the ugly, to accomplish His will. And what's that will? What have you been predestined for? I'll say it again to make sure we get it. He wants you to look like Jesus. He wants you to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And where does that always lead? To the praise of His glory. So that His glory is seen and people speak well of God. And can you imagine the moment when you get to stand before the throne of God in all the glory that is God, and it will be heaven? Because that's your destiny if you are in Christ. That's what God has in store for you. That's where your life is headed. When Billy Graham passed away a few years ago, of all the things that he had ever said in his preaching career, there was one thing quoted more than anything else at his death. In fact, they traced it. It went viral and it was tweeted every 15 seconds for the day after his passing. Here's the quote. And it wasn't original with him. It goes back to a man named Moody, and maybe somebody said it to Moody. But he said, "Someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive then than I am now. I will have just changed my address." So the end of life, the destiny for those who are predestined in Christ, is not death. It's life. It's life forever. It's life eternal. It is life with Christ in glory. And so at the end of your life, when it's all said and done, what God intended, He will have accomplished. He will have saved you. He will have saved you through thick and thin. He will have saved you through guts and glory. He will have saved you through ups and downs. He will have saved you. He will have accomplished His will and purpose in you. And we will receive the glory that He gives us. That is just a reflection of the glory of Christ. That is a reflection of the glory of God. And it won't be anything we can boast about. It'll be because of His grace and kindness expressed through Jesus. And in heaven, it will be to the praise of His glory. And forever and ever, we will speak well of God. We're going to sing a great song. Salvation belongs to our God. Belongs to Him, but He offers it to you through Jesus Christ. And all those who are in Christ are predestined for glory. All these gifts and blessings that we're reading in Ephesians chapter 1 can be yours in Jesus Christ. Trust Him. Follow Him. Be saved by Him. Surrender your life to Him. We'll baptize you in His name. Your sins will be forgiven. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if you're watching online and you want to do that, make contact. We can make that happen. But in some way this morning, respond to God for the praise of His glory.